welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths, to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
Mike Brown from lindedu.com had this to say in an article he wrote last year called The Cost of Christmas in 2018. It's the most wonderful time of the year, almost. It's never too early to start thinking about Christmas. We've already been seeing the commercials and hearing the music for a month now. Christmas has always been about showing gratitude and love and embracing the spirit of giving. And at the center of it all is the abundance of presents. The only thing people love more than giving presents is getting presents. However, the spirit of giving can rack up quite an expensive tab. When you factor in the money spent on holiday travel and decorations on top of gift purchasing, Christmas quickly becomes a very expensive celebration. How much would the average American spend on Christmas in 2018? To find out, Lind EDU conducted a poll of adults who intended on celebrating Christmas. The good news, the vast majority of Christmas celebrators, 72%, had zero intentions of going into any type of debt due to Christmas shopping. The bad news, nearly a quarter of American consumers, 22%, did expect to go into debt after splurging on the holiday, while another 6% opted not to reveal if they would be taking on debt this holiday season. So how much debt would they be going into? Among those holiday consumers who anticipated taking on holiday debt last year, the average amount of debt they expected to incur was $554. Because this debt figure was so close to Lind EDU's Christmas expenditure figure, they wanted to find out if the respondents who were expecting debt would be spending more than the average consumer. As it turns out, among those respondents that planned on going into debt due to Christmas shopping, the average respondent expected to spend $836 on Christmas, more than $200 extra when compared to the standard survey participant. In the days after Christmas, Americans can be found taking down the tree, cleaning up wrapping paper, and perhaps surveying the financial wreckage from another holiday season. Carrie Paul from MarketWatch.com, in her article entitled, How Long Will It Take Americans to Pay Off Christmas?, reported this. Shoppers in the U.S. racked up an average of $1,054 of debt during the Christmas season, an increase of 5% over last year. According to a survey from Magnify Money, a personal finance website, 44% of shoppers racked up more than $1,000 in holiday debt, and 5% accumulated more than $5,000 in debt. Bouncing back from those purchases won't come quickly. Only half of those surveyed expected to repay the debt within 3 months. Another 29% said they would need more than 5 months to pay it off, often leading to interest on the credit card debt and growing balances. In fact, 10% of people who took on holiday debt said they would only be able to make minimum payments to their credit cards. If a shopper spent $1,054 and just paid the minimum payment of $25 each month, they would be paying down that balance for approximately 6 years. And then what happens this Christmas and all the subsequent Christmases after that? For many, it truly becomes a vicious cycle. And as we all know, prolonged financial stress is detrimental to both our mental and physical well-being. So before you wake up and find yourself in unexpected or additional debt this holiday season, come be a part and accept this invitation to learn the power of wise, prudent, and skillful stewardship of your financial resources. Discover the tools you need to free yourself from the oppressive pressure of poor financial management. Because who doesn't want to eliminate financial stress? Who doesn't want to get out of debt, reach their financial goals, and experience the joy that God intends for us, and to be free to bless others with their resources? In his book, The Blessed Life, Pastor Robert Morris teaches that generosity is a key component of being in God's favor. It is a wonderful book if you haven't read it already. But after writing it, Morris gradually began to understand that he had built the message of the blessed life on an assumption. If you think of that book's message as a house, then there was an underlying assumption serving as the house's foundation. That foundational assumption was this: we must live within our means. Put another way, you can't spend or give more than you have. He honestly assumed most, if not all, believers understood this, so he didn't address it in The Blessed Life. Morris writes, "It seemed obvious to me that being a generous person involved redirecting your discretionary spending money, which in turn required, you know, actually having discretionary spending money." And so he wrote today's feature, Beyond Blessed, as a companion book to The Blessed Life. Because The Blessed Life travels on two legs, and Morris is here to help us get the first vital leg in place and working strong. Then, and only then, will we be free to be a generous, joyous giver. In Beyond Blessed, he shares the importance of being a good steward, not only with your finances, but with every part of your life. He will provide practical lessons on taking your finances to the next level. Through biblical principles, personal stories, and incredible testimonies, you will learn how to be a good steward, and that when you properly manage your finances, blessings will pour into all areas of your life. This guide will help you increase and go further with what God has given you so that you can live beyond blessed. To be more generous without becoming a prudent manager of resources, especially money, is like trying to run with one foot nailed to the floor. It will be exhausting, frustrating, and fruitless. But here's the wonderful news Morris shares. The ability to wisely manage wealth and material possessions is not a talent with which you're gifted at birth. It is a skill. This means it can be taught and learned. It is a form of wisdom, and the book of Proverbs encourages us to get wisdom in chapter 4, verse 7. It is available to everyone with enough humility to receive it. There is a biblical word for this skill, but I am almost reluctant to use it here because it's gotten a bad reputation through misuse and abuse. Too many Christians have the wrong concept of what this word denotes. I'm talking about stewardship, Morris writes. Many people who've been in church most of their lives have come to associate the word stewardship solely with giving to the church. They've been conditioned to think stewardship is just a code word for giving offerings or tithing. It is understandable because this is precisely the context in which it's often been used. Over time, we've been trained to hear the word stewardship and think giving more. But that's not what Morris means when he uses the term, because that's not the way it's used in the Bible. The fact is that stewardship is simply about being a wise, prudent, and skillful steward of all the resources God has placed in your hands. What is a steward? Morris explores this question in greater detail throughout the book, but for now here is a quick working definition. One of the main definitions of steward in the Oxford English Dictionary is a person employed to manage another's property, especially a large house or estate. As it's used in the Bible, it refers to a person who is left in charge of another person's assets. A steward is entrusted with protecting, maintaining, nurturing, and/or growing things, a business, a farm, a household, or some funds that belong to someone else. God entrusts many things to each of us. As the creator of everything, including us, it all belongs to Him. Yet He leaves in our care assets such as time, talents, relationships, and yes, wealth. Handling these precious assets prudently qualifies us for blessing and for the privilege of being entrusted with more. Numerous parables of Jesus feature stewards, both good and bad. And in Beyond Blessed, Morris lays out the principles, precepts, and patterns that will make you a sound, skillful handler of all God has entrusted to you. He will focus on wealth, but the principles translate to every resource and asset category. He includes practical skills such as budgeting, handling debt, and financial planning. In fact, these skills are so vital that his church established an entire ministry called Gateway Stewardship in order to help their members learn these skills. The reality that any believer can learn the practical keys to becoming a wise steward is wonderful news and should give you hope as you begin this journey. Here's even better news. As with everything else in the Christian life, as you step out in faith and obedience to become a more biblical steward of what God has entrusted to you, He will run to meet you and help you. Please understand this. God blesses, helps, and rewards your heartfelt efforts to be a better steward. Now, Morris begins by inviting you to daydream a bit. Imagine you always have money left at the end of the month, rather than too much month left at the end of the money. He's talking about a life in which you've forgotten what it feels like to have to worry or stress about your finances. When confronted with a purchasing decision, your first thought is, "Lord, should I buy this?" rather than, "How can I afford this?" Imagine a life of daily peace, laying your head on your pillow at night with a satisfied soul and sleeping like a baby. If you're married, you and your spouse routinely pray about spending priorities, but never fight about money. Picture a life in which you get to bless others, whenever and wherever the Spirit moves you. This is a life turbocharged with energy, purpose, and fulfillment, because you get to consistently invest in the people and the causes that mean the most to you. In this imagined existence, you will live with the assurance that you are, in the words of Jesus, laying up treasure in heaven, Matthew 6:19-21. But in the meantime, you're having a ball here on earth. How fun would this life be? The highlight of a typical day might be noticing the frazzled-looking young mother in the grocery store aisle, comparing prices on the cheapest brands of peanut butter, while using her phone as a calculator and fighting back tears. You approach her and hand her a $50 bill, quietly saying that God wants her to know that He sees her and cares about her, and simply walk away. Indeed, you spend your days looking for opportunities to be an answer to some desperate person's whispered prayer, routinely having the privilege of serving as a living, breathing, tangible manifestation of God's love for them. Imagine not getting a pit in your stomach when you think about your retirement years or old age. Like the wise, prudent woman of Proverbs 31, you smile at the future. Go ahead and imagine all of this, and any other aspects that come to mind, of a life free from any pressure. As sharply and vividly as you can, picture yourself, your family, your home, your career in snapshots and video images of how it could be. Picture not being afraid to follow to the fullest the adventure God wants to live alongside you. See yourself experiencing a life of maximum impact and minimum financial stress. Does that kind of life sound appealing, gratifying, peaceful? Of course it does. However, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, Morris asserts. What you just envisioned is not necessarily the life of a wealthy person. In fact, many extremely wealthy people spend as much or more time worrying, fighting, obsessing, and stressing about money as anyone. The rich are more likely to be on antidepressants or anti-anxiety medications than average working-class folks. Millionaires and billionaires commit suicide with shocking regularity. Nor is Morris encouraging you to fantasize about winning the lottery. One study revealed that sudden wealth didn't take pressure off of marriages. In fact, it increased the likelihood of divorce for married couples. The wonderful fact is that the truly blessed life you just envisioned is available to everyone, regardless of income bracket or social status. You can have that life. Anyone can. It requires only one thing: consistently living within your means. That's the truth. Of course, Morris reminds us that just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy or comes naturally. If living within our means were easy, it wouldn't be such a rare thing in our culture. By the way, it wasn't rare a few generations ago. In fact, it was the norm. We've lost a vital virtue somewhere along the way. Wherever you stand right now, however ill-equipped you may feel, However overwhelmingly your challenges may seem, you can take the first crucial steps today and then follow through all the way to a life beyond blessed. It's not too late. You haven't gone too far off course to correct. You are not disqualified in any way because of something you've done, haven't done, or suffered. You don't need to have a specific talent or aptitude. You don't have to come with anything other than a surrendered, humble heart and a willingness to embrace biblical wisdom. So where does this process start? How do we begin the journey toward being a wise, faithful steward? Morris tells us, to build a foundation for your maximized impact, you're going to have to dig down into the very bedrock of how we understand God and His ways. This means burrowing down to a couple of simple but fundamental questions. Whose am I? Or to whom do I belong? If you are truly born again, the answer is easy. I belong to God, of course. That's the right answer. After all, most of us have heard and read the words of 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 many times. Or do you not know you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Saying yes to Jesus and following Him means laying down our life and completely surrendering everything to Him. As Jesus told His disciples, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Luke 17:33. Of course we get the far better end of that deal, Morris reveals. In the great exchange of the cross, we get rid of a broken, sin-marred, guilt-soaked life, and an eternal future in hell. In return, we get wholeness, peace, meaning, and purpose in this life, and eternity in heaven to boot. There is a broader principle embedded in Jesus' warning, namely that we invariably lose the thing that we, out of selfishness, insecurity, or greed, try to cling to. But the things we release to Him in trust and love invariably come back to us many times over. Once we settle the issue that we belong to God, there is a related ownership question we must settle in our hearts and minds. It's one thing to acknowledge that you belong to God, but what about all your stuff? Who owns the money, home, cars, furniture, electronics, clothes, and all the material goods you routinely and casually call mine? The answer to this question represents the foundational, fundamental bedrock issues of successful stewardship, and therefore the living of a blessed life. There is no path to real blessing that doesn't begin with getting this question settled fully and deeply in our hearts once and for all. Scripture plainly declares, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him." There isn't anything in your life that didn't come from God's creation. Of course, God isn't greedy. On the contrary, He's extravagantly generous. He is the author and source of agape love, the kind of love that gives sacrificially. It is His highest joy to bestow gifts and bless. This is His nature, which stands in sharp contrast to the fallen nature you and I were born with, Morris declares. It seems one of the first words any infant learns to say is mine. We are all born with a broken, fearful, grasping spirit, a dread of not having enough, or running out, or heaven forbid, someone else having more. The most fundamental question every believer must answer is whose declaration of mine is valid, yours or God's, because they both can't be valid. If I belong to God, then there is no question that everything I possess is ultimately His. The logic is inescapable. If God owns you, then you don't own you, even your very own body. Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 that if we are born again, we should view our very own bodies as being on loan from God. It's yours to live in as a caretaker for 80 to 100 years, but it's God's house your spirit is occupying. Understanding that God owns and we steward is the most vital understanding we must embrace to begin this journey. You're a steward of many things entrusted to your care by a loving, generous God. This, of course, leads us to another question. If I am a steward, what kind of steward am I? The life of the wise steward is a good life. However, the cost of unwise stewardship extends far beyond just the realm of our finances. Tragically, there's often no difference between the followers of Christ and everyone else. In his experience as a pastor, Morris reports, believers are just as likely to be suffering in these ways. America's epidemic of families experiencing financial stress is swallowing up an incredible amount of money, time, and emotional energy that could have been directed at advancing the work of God's kingdom. All this unhappiness and suffering is rooted in poor stewardship, which in turn is rooted ultimately in a failure to recognize that all we have belongs to God. If we don't truly know that everything we have is the Lord's, it's very hard to put Him first in our lives. When we don't understand God's faithfulness and love, we feel personally and solely responsible to be on the lookout for dangers and threats. When we don't understand that God is the Creator, who brings supernatural multiplication, increase, and abundance, it is easy to live with the constant assumption that whatever little bit we have is all there really is. The dramatic contrast, Morris explains, putting God first and recognizing that all belongs to Him, liberates us from fear of loss and insufficiency. This is why replacing your ownership mindset with the stewardship mindset is so freeing. This extends far beyond mere money to everything under your control, including your children. When you truly, deep down, acknowledge that it's all God's anyway, you will feel your spiritual fingers loosen their iron grip on things. You can finally experience release from the crushing burden of thinking that you have to hoard everything that comes your way. Once you do, you'll experience new dimensions in your relationship with God as you rest in His faithfulness. And having released ownership of yourself and your possessions, you can stand back and watch God work the miracles you've heard about. You can experience the unbelievable provision and intervention about which others testify. When you concede the ownership of all you are, and all you do, and all you own to Him, you reorient yourself into a proper alignment with spiritual reality. Areas of your life you never knew were out of kilter will shift into place. Parts of your walk with God, including your prayer life, your sense of His presence, your passion in worship, will be enhanced by the sudden yielding of contested territory to God. When you return to God what's already His, you lock down a conviction deep inside yourself that God is absolutely 100% real and active in your life. You now put your money where your heart is. This is the foundation of becoming a good steward. This is who you want to be, because the hard, harsh truth is that God cannot bless a bad steward. His goodness and love prevent it. His blessings upon a poor steward would destroy the person and inflict damage to others. Wise stewards, on the other hand, find all of heaven's power and resources deployed to help them. Are you ready to build upon that foundation? The first element was spiritual in nature. The next is immensely practical. If you desire a practical, yet deeply spiritual journey toward a life beyond the financial stress that many people know all too well, then pick up a copy of Beyond Blessed and get started. Beyond Blessed by Robert Morris can be found online and is currently available in hardback, paperback, audio, and digital formats. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf, none of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.